And we're almost done now with our story that we're looking at with regard to what a GHCC-er, a Christian, should be like in a world of racism and corruption. If you turn to page 6 of your notes, if you turn to page 4 of your notes, this is where we began to pick up and we were looking at why our Lord really hates racial prejudice. And we learned that prejudice questions our Lord's creation and went into detail as to what that means. I mean, he doesn't give a hill of beans in terms of one color or another, one race over another, one nation over another, in terms of showing partiality. He created men and women, boys and girls. He created them in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. No reference to race. No reference to color. And then we saw that prejudice is a sign of ignorance and went into that in some detail. And then prejudice disobeys the great commandment. When you think about it, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, sacrificially loving them the way he describes. And then from there we moved on and we saw that prejudice is a serious, serious sin. It has no place in our culture, none whatsoever. It has no place in the world. And then I gave you a simple, very simple action plan. And I'm just asking you to ask yourself, if you were here, you received these, you know what the action plan was. 5 minutes. 5 minutes to pray against this sort of activity going on in our culture. Or if you yourself saw yourself in the midst of some of this and confessing and repenting of it. If you did not do the action plan, then you have an excellent idea of why it still exists in this country, why we still see it, and why it's on the rise in this country. Because you and I are the people of God, and we didn't do a simple little action step. So before the Lord, did you do it? Are you doing it? Because those of us that are, we're going to see the hand of the Lord moving in lives around us that we're praying for. The rest of us need to show up for practice. Then on page 6, we began to look at, we must see people as our Lord Jesus does and went through his breath, his word to us. And then we saw we must listen to everyone with respect, regardless of occupation, regardless of race, regardless of a person's color. We need to listen with respect. And then today we're going to pick up with love everybody as Jesus does. That's where we left off, and it's been filled in for you this morning. We can love as these passages of Scripture are going to be laid out. You will not be able to do it in and of yourself on your own, by your own strength. You may be able to do it momentarily, but you will not be able to sustain it unless you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord each day, throughout the day, and you find yourself being filled afresh and anew with the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God to be able to give this unconditional, supernatural love that has been poured out into your heart, and you'll never run dry. It cannot be exhausted. But you need the Spirit of God to be able to share it. So we must love everybody the way Jesus does. And by everybody, our Heavenly Father means all people. regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of where they live in the world, regardless of their color. In Matthew 5:44, before we get in there, I want to make this statement. You and I, when we came to faith in the Lord Jesus, we were made for love. And I'm not talking about eros love. I'm talking about agape love. We were made to love as God has loved us. Romans 5:5, he poured his love into us. In 1 John, we've studied and seen God is love. But he's not this ooey-gooey, mamby-pamby kind of love. That warmth of phileo love can come forth because we're part of his family. But we're talking about this sacrificial love. You and I were made to love. Because you are love. If you're a Christian. Not a caricature. Not a cultural Christian. But someone who's been born afresh and anew from on high. Matthew 5:44. Let's read this aloud together. Get some strength going in your voices. Get some air in your lungs. Let's read this aloud together, out loud. For I say to you, stop there. Jesus is saying, listen, again, this is the breath of God. He is talking to you and to me. So, put your name in there. He says, I say to you, Jim. I say to you, Glenn. I say to you, all of you. I am speaking to you. And he says, listen to that goofy guy that I put to be your under shepherd. He's saying here, but I say to you, now let's read it. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Rod, you don't know the person who's my enemy. No, I don't. Doesn't matter. I don't have to. But Ron, you can't have any sympathy or empathy with me. You want to bet? I've had rotten bosses. You know, I've served under rotten generals. I've had people in the church treat me like I was some sort of piece of trash. I understand exactly. And that's why I study this passage so clearly. Because does he really mean I am to seek the best and the greatest good with warmth and generousness and sacrifice my enemy's best? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Yes. But Ron, your enemy. Listen, one of my dearest friends here in the church family is a guy by the last name of Tran. Ever met Dr. Tran? Vietnamese. He was a boat baby escaping Vietnam at the close of the war. Love him. Love him. But the North Vietnamese I had a hard time with. And with the Chinese I had an even harder time with. I had a real hard time with the Russians. Because they were all supporting the North Vietnamese who were killing my buddies and trying to kill me. But our Lord says, Ron, you're to love your enemies. My dad was a Marine in the Pacific. You understand what the Japanese soldier did to a United States Marine if he was captured or they got a hold of the body? You would be appalled as to what they do. But my father went from calling them Japs to calling them Japanese. He went from calling them Japs and slant eyes to calling them my friend and my brother. How does that happen? It happens because the Spirit of God comes to live in us, and He changes us. I have no ill will. There's still hurt in my heart with regard to Vietnam, especially the Pathet Lao. These were the communist soldiers in Laos, where a number of us were secreted illegally, according to international law, to fight the North Vietnamese coming down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. I have no anger, no hurt. No anger for the Vietnamese people. I can love them in Christ and love them genuinely. To hug them and that kind of thing. That's coming a long way. But it's not because Ron has done something other than responded to God's grace upon his life. It's taken place because God, the Father, through his Son, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, has brought about changes in my life, an openness to be freshly filled with the Spirit and to love my enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. So whether this person's a Democrat or a Republican, or this person is black, or white, or brown, or this person is a Muslim, or this person is a Jew, or this person is a Christian, it doesn't make any difference. If your spouse has treated you poorly, if your parents have treated you poorly, if your kids have treated you poorly, we are to seek our enemies best and greatest good at our expense. And that is end of story, except for if they continue to do this, then you pray for them. You pray for your boss who picks on you. You pray for your employees who do less than what they're being paid for. You pray for your spouse who's in a bad place right now. You pray for your parents who are struggling at the moment. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34. You know, folks, it takes a great deal of courage to stand up against your enemies. But I'll tell you this, it takes even a greater amount of courage to stand up against those who are your family and brothers and sisters in Christ who hurt you. But in the Spirit, you can love them. You'll be amazed how they change when you begin to pray for them. This person that hurts you, when you begin to pray for them, often, your boss, he really shouldn't be your boss. You're better than he is. You pray for him. You pray for her. You lift her up. You lift him up. You pray for him all that. You pray God's very best for him, for her, and you will see the changes that take place. Maybe not so much in him or her, but in you. But in you. That's what really matters. That's what really matters. John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, and that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, exactly as I have loved you. I sought your best, your grace. I went to the cross. I was beaten to a pulp by these Roman soldiers prior to the cross. The Jewish people at my trial, they were pulling out my beard with their fingers. And they were spitting in my face. And then they nailed me to the cross. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Now the question is, do you? And if you don't, you understand why not now, right? Because it's flesh. It's not because you can't. It's a won't. And that needs to change. Because won't is really a three-letter word. S-I-N. John 13:35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples. How are people going to know I'm a disciple? It says here, if you have agapao, love for one another. People will see you seeking other people around you, their best, their greatest good, in a warm, generous way, sacrificially. Jesus is our greatest example. In John 15:12, it's a repeat. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's what he said in 13:34. If we did everything we are capable of in Jesus with the aid of the Holy Spirit, we would astound ourselves. We would astound ourselves. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 10, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. He's writing to the Roman church, but he's also speaking about civil authorities who, for the most part, are going to be unbelievers. So he speaks to the Granada Hills Community Church this morning. He says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, just that statement alone, I could do a series for the next 4 weeks. But this whole passage is pregnant with all kinds of things. We're just going to highlight some of these areas. The bottom line will be the bottom line that you will see in just a moment. So all government, our government, past, present, future, governments of the world, they are all instituted by our Heavenly Father. Therefore, whoever resists, in other words, rebels, the authorities resists, rebels what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. He's saying those of us who rebel against our government are standing against the government that he raised up. Now, you and I know that not all governments are just. In Acts 5:29, you might want to write that down and look it up for yourself. But Peter, and he said, with the other apostles, and he's standing there before the authorities in Jerusalem. He's standing before the religious aristocracy, the Sanhedrin. And he says, they say to him, we must obey God rather than men. So is that a contradiction of Scripture? No, it's an understanding that human institutions raised up by God don't always follow after the way God would have them go. They make their choice, and in his permissive will, he lets them go and do his thing because they're not going to impact his purpose and plan as he has it laid out for the world and for all the people in it. But we need to understand something, and I'll explain that in just a moment. He says, for the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, generally speaking, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So if you get stopped by a local police officer for some violation of the California vehicle code, just understand, the officer is following what he's supposed to be doing, or she's supposed to be doing. He or she has seen traffic accidents that have destroyed lives. People have been killed. So they're writing a ticket for the traffic violation they saw you do. What? But I didn't do it, Ron. I really didn't do it. And what I used to tell people, if you honestly didn't do it, and you know that to be a fact, then think of the million times you did do it, and just you're receiving a ticket for that. You got away a million times, but you got caught this time. I know the guy didn't appreciate it when I told him that, but nonetheless, it's the truth of the matter. Then he threatened, okay, I'm going to see you in court. I said, you're going to make me go to court? He said, yeah. And I said, you don't understand that my wife thanks you and my two little girls thank you, because Ronnie wasn't born yet. Said, what do you mean? And I said, well, if I go to court, you see, I work nights. Therefore, it'll be overtime. I'm going to get paid overtime, and I'll appreciate that on my vacation. Oh, he really didn't like hearing that one. He really didn't appreciate when I did show up in court either. So, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Now understand, if we commit vile crimes such as capital punishment, you know, capital punishment was instituted by God in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5. You can read that on your own if you like. Or, yeah, Genesis 9 verses 5 and 6. And it was never taken back by God. Those in our state that want to see the end of capital punishment are fighting against, standing against God. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. But again, as I said and read to you, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we must be ready to submit ourselves, if we commit civil disobedience, to the consequences that man has for us violating their laws when they come in contradiction to the word of God. We must obey the higher authority, and that is our Heavenly Father. The breath of God is his dictates. This is what we are to follow. And if it's in contradiction to man's laws, therefore there will be penalties to pay for that. You might want to read more about that in Daniel 4, verses 17, 25, and 32. But you see, the government that is conducting themselves in an evil fashion, there are going to be consequences for them as well. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember both sides, government, whether it's good or evil, and ourselves, if we are following the dictates of our Lord over the government that has been placed in authority over us. We need to remember Romans 8, wherein we are told, God will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We may not understand it, and that's okay, because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. But he is sovereign, and he is not out of control, but still in control of this world and everything that happens in it and the universe around us. He created it all. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. We understand in many instances what God's plan and purpose is, and therefore we need to be careful in submitting ourselves first to God and then the government that's been placed over us. For because of you, because of this, you also pay taxes. April 15th isn't that far off. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except the love to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Again, love. Love. We need to love people as God, as Jesus specifically has shown us to love. Verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So we are to love everyone. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him things were created, meaning Jesus, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25, it's almost like Peter and Paul sat down and the Holy Spirit was having to write the same letter almost at the same time. Be subject to for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it is to be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now go back and look at this just a little bit. He's saying here that we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to the President of the United States. President Obama. Next month, President-elect Trump. That isn't said well with some people, but this is what our Lord has said. We may not like our governor. I don't like his policies. But nonetheless, I am supposed to be subject to Jerry Brown. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants. And that word means slaves, living as slaves to God. He says, honor everyone, favor, esteem, reverence, everyone. Why don't we ever hear this from the pulpits across America? Why are we not being taught these things? He says, favor, esteem, reverence, honor everyone. Agape the brotherhood. Seek their best and their greatest good at your expense. Fear God. Phobio. Have a profound respect, a worship for God. Honor the emperor. Here we go again. Favor, esteem the president. And in this case, Peter was talking, remember when we saw his picture up here? Nero. Slaughtering your brothers and sisters of mine. Because they're Christians. Servants, be subject to your masters. Employees, be subject to your bosses. With all respect, again, phobos, with profound respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. What a bummer. That goes against the flesh. For this is a gracious thing. This is a gift. This is a kindness. This is a gift when mindful of God, when aware of his presence, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Who is the example of that for us? Exactly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? I mean, when I got my whoopings, I deserved them. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. You know, some of us will be victims of racism. Some of us will be victims of corruption. But stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His power. Be an imitator of God and walk in love. For to this you have been called, because Christ has suffered for you, leaving you, put your name in there, leaving you, Brett, leaving you, or Melinda, leaving you. He is saying, I'm leaving you an example so that you might follow in His, Jesus, steps. Jesus wasn't prejudiced. Jesus wasn't corrupt. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who is the one who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds, we have been healed. We have appropriated Him. We have received Him, and therefore we have become the children of God. We are His prized possessions. We are His priests. We are part of His holy nation, His holy family. We have a special place in the heart of our Heavenly Father. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Well, there's more to say, and I didn't see Tommy's five, but that was probably 10 minutes or more ago. So we'll pick up here, again, thinking about what our Lord has told us on how we are to follow Him in love, the people around us, which is a tough thing, to say the least. Let's pray. Father, the things that You have laid out for us are not possible for us to do. But we thank You that the fact of the matter is we can do all these things that You have asked of us because You have given us the Holy Spirit, who has come to live in us and to help us to be able to do these things. Father, being part of Your family means that we are to forgive the inexcusable because You have forgiven the inexcusable in us. So my prayer for myself and for my family, Father, here in Christ, help us to see people as Jesus does. Help us to be real, godly listeners to everyone and to do that with respect. And may we demonstrate Your agape love to everybody the same way we have seen and read that Your Son does. Help us to esteem and to favor people, even as You have favored us. We are so blessed, Father. Help us to see that we are not to repay other people who have done horrible things to us by doing horrible things to them or thinking horrible things about them. But help us always to seek that which is good and to do these things that are good for one another and other people who may not be Christians. And may we find ourselves afresh and anew each day in your Holy Spirit, and therefore able to rejoice and to pray often, and to give you thanks in all the circumstances that we face. Whether it be a wonderful report that we were hoping the doctor was going to give us, or one that we weren't hoping to receive. May we see this as you have tried to help us to see from your perspective, that this is your will for us in Christ Jesus, and that you're going to work out everything for our good because we love you. So, Father, we submit ourselves to you in these coming days. Make the necessary differences in our own lives that we can be a sweet, a fragrance, aroma to the people around us, and to do so in the name and in the power of your Son, our holy Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.